Just before we move into a time of worship, acknowledging the Chinese fellowship that are going out to this service this morning. A number of them, I think there's about 50. How many Wai Pung went to Queenstown? 12. Yeah, 15. Yeah. You had to speak Mandarin to get invited. So if you didn't get invited, you know, that's the reason. But you had a good time, Wai Pung? Two days down in Queenstown. Three days. Awesome. Would have been good, eh? So we pray for the Chinese Fellowship, and for me, I'm just really overwhelmed by what I see going on there. There are many good things that are happening. Rick, who's not, I notice is not here this morning, he texted me Saturday morning to say, the youth ministry on a Friday night, the numbers are just increasing to the stage where they're looking at having to they've got to get some strategy around how they can cater, transport all the kids, new young people coming. And he's so excited. He hasn't seen these types of numbers before. And so I just wanted to pass that on. I know that Brent is saying the same about Generate, that there are new children coming there on a Friday night. And this is the hand of the Lord. And honest, and also, there are different testimony stories of people and the encounters of God that they're having during the week. That's the privilege for me. I get to hear stuff. I hear what people are doing. And I'm just so excited because the Lord is doing a really interesting thing. You know, like he's taking a lot of people out of their comfort zone. And if you feel like that at the moment, I want you to know that you're part of a growing number in the life of this congregation. That where we had God quite nicely tucked away into a box, it's like God is now coming amongst us and moving amongst us and beginning to take us outside the box. I'm just so excited about the stories. I'm excited that when people are just sitting with me going, Ivan, I just didn't think God could do this. And it's really interesting because I'm sure that we would have all sung that with God all things are possible. So that's an interesting concept, isn't it? We can sing that with God all things are possible, but yet when God begins to move, we go, I don't think God does that stuff. Yeah. So anyway, I'm just so excited about that. I'm totally relaxed about what the Lord is doing. The thing about also is that it'll get quite messy. The moment of significance for me of the kingdom of God invading earth in a way that's just so powerful is that Father God, has this plan around a son being born, and he's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords, he's coming out of heaven, and puts him in a stable, one of the messiest moments, and this is the kingdom of God on earth. This is the way that God is thinking. So I just want you to embrace storms and embrace mess, because that's the way the Lord works. He you don't build muscle when everything is fine. You only build muscle when you have to wrestle against something. And I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. So this morning, just by means of introduction, what I want to do is I want to just continue to bring you to the scriptures around Jesus, who I'll say it again by means of introduction soon, but that Jesus is our role model. It's his life. It's not what I'm. You heard me last Sunday. We're not pursuing what church looks like. We're pursuing what the life of Christ looks like. All right, and we come together. We come together on a Sunday to worship, to receive, I pray, to receive stuff that will actually encourage us. But the purpose of your life is not that you would sit on church on a Sunday morning. The purpose of your life is that you would take Christ into your world. I'm talking to some people and they're going, this is really different. You see, I have no desire to share a vision with you about what we should be about and say, you come and meet my vision. Now, that is really different because most pastors, that's exactly what they're into. My vision is this, that you are, every person in this room right now, God has a purpose and plan for your life, and it is my role to help resource and empower and equip you to be able to fulfill that ministry. So in my mind, we have ministries. We have homemaking ministries in the life of this church. We have a police ministry. We have doctor, medical ministry. We have teachers ministry. We have people who work at different businesses, so many different businesses, but they're all our ministries. They're all our ministries. Do you understand? What does Hutt City do? Wow, we're just so multi-complex. We've just got so many different ministries. You hear, it's a whole different sound. You say to some people, what's your church do? Well, they go, well, we have a women's ministry and a youth ministry. Now, that is the way that church, but that's not kingdom. You will never relate to a Jesus. You will never relate to a Jesus if you continue to see it like a church vision. Because Jesus didn't come along talking about how you should run youth groups. He didn't come talking about how you should do women's ministries. So what I'm trying to do is saying, you know, I've got men who go, well, you know, man, I'm a man, I don't cry. But Jesus cried. No, he must have done that at Sunday, at worship. No. He illustrates the very lifestyle that we are to live. When the people began to follow, they weren't forming, in a sense, they weren't forming an organization. They were following a lifestyle. That's what we're chasing, a lifestyle. So in our worship here on a Sunday, I want the greatest worship. But I know, I'll tell you this, it won't be this good at 2 o'clock this afternoon for me, because you aren't, you know, all in the lounge. Better not be. Carl Glenn will tell me off. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? So do I need this time? You bet I do, because we're going to get something out of this time. It's going to be great. But is this the main event? No, this is not the main event. Your life. Your life is the main event. Your life. God has created you, every one of us in this room, to be a person of significance worth. But the thief has come. And he's come and he's stealing and he's, you know, he's robbing, he's destroying stuff. What's he doing? He's destroying the life that we should be living. Well, that's the role of the church. That's the role of this church, is to empower you again, to get you to see who you are in Christ, so that you might begin to walk into your world, the garden that God has planted you, and go, I go pursuing the kingdom of God. So let's worship him this morning. Let's worship Jesus. It's about him. It's about him. And then I'm going to continue to just open the scriptures this morning, because that's the manual. Not my theories, but what does the manual say? And we'll look at that this morning. God bless you. Thanks, Aaron.
Your name believe.
So the presence of God is very heavy in this place right now. And some of you don't know what that's like. Okay? So it may be that your body might start getting tingles. Different people have different things. But it could be that your body starts to be like, get real, real hot. Or it could be just, what else? What else could it be? It could be your heart pumping, it could be your hands get hot, it could be just that through your whole body it's like Diet Sprite and all the bubbles that come from your feet all the way up. It's all right to laugh into it, because that's what it's like. And sometimes we don't know what it looks like, okay? And the Lord is saying it's okay, that He's just showing you what His presence may look like and feel like. Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen anything this morning? Come. And so He may give you pictures, visions, words, and that's what, or words of knowledge, that's when God talks to us and then we blurt it out and we do our best to encourage, to edify and to uplift the saints, always.
Of roots, but it wasn't in the ground, it was kind of hovering, and there was a big hole ready for it to go into, but it wasn't in there yet. So this felt like maybe God's saying the tree of life is there, all the fruit is on the tree, and we just need to be planted.
That's real good. That's real good. That's real good. Thank you. So why don't you pray that for us? Pray that for us. Pray that into being for us.
Okay.
There's no right way. Okay. Just what you think. Okay. Jesus.
Well, Lord, I just pray that you would help us to plant our roots in you, that you would be our soil and that you would cause us to grow in you.
Yes, God.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we worship you. Lord, we worship you this morning. Father, this is why we're here, Father. We're here to worship you, the living God, and to place you in the highest place. And Father, this morning we just want to say we're sorry, God, that we've had other things first. Lord, you know how easy our hearts just drift away from you, God, and we put other things before you. But God, this morning, we just want to come back. And we want to say, you take the highest place in our life this morning, Father. Come, Holy Spirit, move amongst us. Thank you for what you're doing. We are your sons, we are your daughters, and we long to be more like you, Lord Jesus. So continue to minister to us now, we pray, for we ask this in and through your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, that was awesome. That was so good. So good. it was the late 1940s, England. There is a theologian by the name of Dr. Edwin Orr, and he has from America a number of students. And what Dr. Orr will do is he will take these students around famous sites around England where significant events have happened within the life of church history. And one of the houses that, one of the things, places they will go is they will go to the home of John Wesley. And these students, these American students, young students, all pile out of the bus. They follow Dr. Edwin Orr into this home, which was John Wesley's home. And Dr. Orr would take him through to the bedroom. And they would all come in. So they're all now crammed into this little bedroom. And they noticed, as they looked around, somebody noticed that in the carpet beside the bed was two imprints. You know, the carpet had been worn. Just two patches. And somebody said to Dr. Orr, said, so what, any significance in that? And he said, yes, it's in history that John Wesley, when he would pray for Britain and for the world, that's where he would pray, and that he would rock to and fro, and that those are the imprints of his knees on the carpet. So they went and had a look around the house. It was all really good, really great. You know the story, don't you? You may not know the story, that while John Wesley and George Whitfield, they became two great evangelists in Britain, they were leading Britain to back to God over across the Channel, France, at exactly the same time. They were in the middle of a revolution. It is said in history that if it wasn't for John Wesley and George Whitfield in particular leading a nation back to God, then Britain would have had their own revolution as well. Well, it's really interesting. The only difference was a couple of guys praying. It's really significant. Anyway, so that's just a byproduct. That's something extra. So what then happens is they get back. Dr. Ross says, come on, we've got other places to go to. Let's get back in the bus. So they get in the bus. They get in the bus, and he counts up. He counts up, makes sure everybody's there. And as he counts up, he realizes that one person is missing. So what he does is he says, does anyone know where this person is? No one knows where he is. Dr. Orr thinks, I think I might know where he is. So what he does, he goes back into the house, and he goes up into the upstairs, because the bedroom was upstairs. He goes upstairs into the bedroom, and here he finds this young student kneeling in the imprints of John Wesley's bed, lying and saying, and all he could hear, Dr. Orr could hear him, was, God, do it again. Do it again. Do it again, me. And Dr. Orr said to the young student, he said, Billy, it's time for us to go. Billy Graham was that student. Folks, when we look at Scripture, my desire would be that I would open Scripture to you in such a way that you would understand that it's not something that you cannot achieve, but that it's actually a living document that shows us the very lifestyle that we are to pursue. It is ours. But we're going to need to get before God, and we're going to need to say, God, do it again. Do it again. There's got to be something of a call within you that gets on your face before the Lord and says, Lord, I want more, I want more, I want more. The only difference that, you know, over the years of people that I've seen who are great in God and are doing incredible things, it's not been their how bright they've been, their intellectual, it's been their hunger. It's been my privilege over 38 years to meet some of the great servants. You know, I've met, I've been able to talk with different people. I've tended to want to hunt them out, actually. And this is the thing that I've noticed, that it is not how brainy they are. It's not how intellectual they are. It's not how what a good background they had or nothing. Everything that I've noticed and everyone that I've come across who is making a significant difference for the kingdom of God is how hungry they are for this to happen through them. Through them. The goal of the disciples, is the slide going to go up, I hope. The goal of the disciple is this. The goal of the disciple is that we would replicate the life of Christ. That is the goal of the disciple. You're a disciple of Jesus this morning. You say, yes, I am, Ivan. That's me. I'm a disciple of Jesus. Then what does that mean? The goal is for you to replicate the life of Christ or to represent him. To represent him. Hey, God is never in trouble. Do you understand that? God, if for God to have plans to change stuff, it's not because he goes, man, did I make mistakes here and I've got to fix them. You know, God, there's never been a problem in heaven. You know that? Even when Satan, the Bible says that Satan even rebels against God, that's no big deal to God. Don't think for one moment when God loses Satan and when he loses a third of the angels, the Bible tells us, don't think for one moment God goes around saying, man, we better have an emergency meeting around here because I don't know what to do. Right? Don't think that, for instance. There's never been a problem with God's world, his domain. Never. There's no problem. The only problem that he's ever had, in a sense, is that the one who he created in his likeness, who should represent him well on earth, has not done a great job. That's been humanity. That's his only problem. So his answer is to give us somebody who shows us how we should live. That's the reason. You think, so why did Jesus die? And you know, you'll go stock answer. You'll say why did Jesus come? The reason he came was to die for our sins, correct? Oh, no. That's a very limited understanding of the gospel. No. One of the main reasons for Jesus coming was to get the Holy Spirit back into humanity and to role model the lifestyle that we are to live. That's the reason for the Son of God. That's the reason he came. Look, if it was just about salvation, about sorting stuff out, couldn't he do that? He didn't need to. He could just do that, couldn't he? He created us. He could just change. No. There was a problem with humanity because God's never changed his plan. His plan is that mankind would represent God. When all of creation would look at mankind, they would know what God is like. And so that's the reason why Jesus came. In John chapter 5, verse 19, I've got it on the screen. I've got quite a number of verses, so I'm going to let you off, but please take notes. John 5, 19 says this. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. In other words, what Jesus says, when he is now when he is now around 30 years of age, he is saying this. He says, I only do that which the Father calls me to do. I only do that which the Father does. That's my whole reason for my life, is that I would live out the will of the Father. Right? It should be our prayer. It should be our prayer that, look, whatever we're doing, wherever you are, whether or not, wherever you find yourself, if you are a butcher today, in the butcher's shop, you are there because why? Because of the will of the Father. See, this is our problem. We've been so far away from God, we're not even sure if what we're doing today is what God would have us to do. But this is the goal of the disciple, that we would know, that we'd know that we're in the right place, wherever God has placed you. That you're in the place where God has placed you. Why? So that you might do the will of the Father. Jesus said this in John 14, verse 12. He says this, I tell you the truth. Notice he's really, the reason he's, the scripture says, I tell you the truth, is because do you think for one moment that there are times when Jesus doesn't tell the truth? No. He doesn't lie, but what he's doing is he's re-emphasizing. He's saying, I want you to get this. I want you to get. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. And fallen humanity says, well, we can't just go and ask God for anything because it might be the devil or it might be me. No, he's saying, I want you to live such a lifestyle that all you're doing is just saying, I'm here because I'm obeying the Father. And so now because I live my whole desire just to do the will of the Father, now I can ask whatever. Because you're now going to be led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will only lead you to ask for the things that the Father would want you to have. That's why it'll come. You understand? See, our humanity, our fallenness is the reason why we find this so difficult. We find it so hard. And so for me, I've always looked at Jesus and I've always said, well, Jesus, you are my role model. The church has wrecked Jesus. You know, I want you to see the moment. We've got the beggar, we got Peter and John. We've got Peter and John walking to the synagogue to pray, and they meet the beggar. They've had an encounter with God. You know, because I've talked already about the story. They come up to him, and he looks up, and the beggar looks up, and Peter looks there and looks at him, and then this happens. Hey, John, we're in trouble because, you know, we did that gift survey, eh? And I haven't got the gift of healing. You didn't have the gift of healing, did you? Who in the 12 had the gift of healing? Because that's the person we've got to get here right at this moment. You know, because I'm disqualified. I can't do this. I'm sorry, mate. I feel something. But actually, the gift survey that I did tells me that I haven't got the... That's what the church has done to us. That's exactly what the church has done to us. Please hear me. The church has so screwed us that why can he just go, hey, silver and gold have I none, but what I have is yours? Because he'd seen the lifestyle of Christ in action. This is how Jesus did it. Jesus didn't go, oh, here we go, raising of the dead. Who's got this one? Who's got this in their gift server? You know, like, you with me? Father, the key for Jesus at this moment is, Father, what do you want me to do? Do you understand that? Every one of us, the question as we walk into life is, Father, what is it you want me to do? And the very same Spirit of God that enabled Jesus and Peter and John is the very same Holy Spirit that's in this room right now. He hasn't changed. So let's look at the life of Jesus. And I know I've gone through this, but you'll get to know me. He just repeats himself. Has he got nothing else to say? I got a lot to say. But if we don't get foundations right, we've got big trouble. It's like a cardi. You remember the cardis? We're cardis. In my day, when I was younger, I understood this better because the cardis used to be quite fashionable, but not so much now. But if I start, normally what they used to teach you was, you know, start from the bottom and Hey? Then they all match, eh? Because what they're trying to say to you by starting at the bottom two, the button and the hole, put those together, is because if you get that wrong, by the time you get to the top, it'll be a mess. Right? So I'm starting at the bottom to make sure that we get the foundations right so that as we grow, we're not going to get a mess. You understand this? All right. Many churches today are in mess because they haven't got this right. They think they know what this is, but we haven't got it right. And we've got a mess going on up here. Doesn't fit, doesn't look right, doesn't feel right, nobody wants it. Right, here we go. Anyway, so we're going to look at Jesus. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. You know what Jesus would have done this morning? When Leah would have gone, "How does the Holy Spirit come?" He would have gone, "Like a dove." That's how he would have gone. That's how I see him, like a dove, comes on me, right? Now, there are some things I want you to note there about this moment. Jesus goes to John. John says, "I need to be baptized." John says, "Man, we've got the roles wrong here, man. You are the one that should be baptizing me because I know that you baptize people with the Spirit. I only baptize people with water." He says, "Well, nevertheless, let's do it." Why? Because the Father wants it done. You right? Jesus' response is, "No, Father wants it done." You with me? That's how we should live. Why am I doing this? Because the Father would want me to do it. Try that this week. Try watching some TV programs going, "The Father would want me to watch this." Get into some conversations going, "The Father would want me to talk this way." Test me in it. Your week will change. Your week will change. All right? I picked up my first hitchhiker up on Saturday morning. I'm off to watch my grandson play rugby. He had a blinder of a game. Scored a try. Great. Anyway, that's beside the point. But I'm coming up. I'm praying. I'm praying as I'm coming down the hill from Kingston. I'm going by myself off to Tawa to watch my grandson play rugby. There's this guy standing with a sign, "Got Tower" written down at the Melling Lights. I've never done this in my life. I would actually advise people not to do this, okay? But as I look up, I feel like I'm praying away. "Oh God, I just want to be your instrument. I just want to be. And it's like I want a sign. And you know, and I see this guy, and there's this guy. The guy's holding Tower, and I'm thinking, I'm going to Tower. So I put down the window. I said, "Hey, mate, I'm going to Tower." He said, "Oh," so he just comes on there. I didn't actually invite him. I told him, but that was enough for him. He comes and sits in the car. And we're driving away. And I said, "Hey, my name's Ivan." He says, "Oh, okay." You know, he says his name. For privacy, we won't go there. But anyway, he says, I said, "Well, where are you off to?" He says, "I'm off to the Tower Baptist Church." Yeah. He says, there's a meeting there for oppressed Christians. He says, "I'm going to be there all day." I said, "Well, I'm happy to do this for you." And we had an amazing conversation. You'd want me to tell you that, you know, the guy became, you know, even deeper Christian and filled with the Spirit. And no, we just had this God connect. I just think that this is what the Father wanted to happen. He gets out of the car, says, "Thanks very much." I drove on to rugby. You know, like, I just drive away thinking, this is a good moment. This is what we should be all doing. "Oh, but I work. Well, you should see where I work. Well, does Father know where you work? "Oh, you can't. You know, I can't be that sort of work." No, I've got to be. No. I'm not asking you to come along with Bibles. You know what I mean? I'm asking you just to carry the very presence of God with you, that you are aware that you carry his presence. So as he was praying, the Bible says, And heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. That's how the Bible describes it. Bodily form like a dove. John 1:32, look at this verse. This is John. John says this. John gave us this testimony. He said, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. John says, I testify that I saw it. I saw the Spirit of God coming. You say, but I've never seen the Spirit of God come. There's a situation that happened in the life of this church. A lady's been really, you know, she saw me and she said, "Ivan, God's just got me out of, you know, I'm undone." She says, "I don't understand what's going on with me." And she says, "I just don't understand." I said, "Well, you know, you're all right. Just, you know, and this is what I'll do. You're you. You're all right. God knows who you are. Don't." Start play acting or be someone, just be you. Well, in the situation that they're in a family situation, things have been quite dire. It's been quite depressing. It's been quite upsetting, actually. The man and the woman involved in the story, they're having a very difficult time. So what she does is she knows that her husband's going to come home from work soon, and there's a couple of kids in the situation. And so what the person does is said, we could really do with some joy in this house. Is that a good, that's an okay prayer, isn't it? That's an okay. We could do with some joy. Well, what happens is they all get home, and the two kids starting laughing uncontrollably over nothing. And all of a sudden, mum and dad just started laughing. They couldn't stop themselves. Now, look, I'm not going to tell you who these people are for the sake of secrecy, but I tell you, if you knew the people, you'd go, no way. And all the time, the lady says is, I asked for this. I asked for this. Right? I want joy. I want laughter. She gets it. I'll tell you, when she's telling me the story, when they're both, the man and woman telling me the story, I'm going, sounds pretty freaky to me. Right? But no, I asked for this. And then they said, we went for a walk because we just stopped laughing after a while. And we went for a walk and they said the peace was just amazing. Spirit of God comes, can be seen. Yeah. You say, no, not in my world, Ivan. Well, just open yourself up. Just see what happens. Okay, the result of the experience, I like this. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. I better watch it because I could go all day here, but I'm not going to. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. I'll get a phone call from Glenda soon. It says in Luke chapter 4, so what happens? He comes out of the waters. He's the Spirit of God comes. The heavens open. Remember, we're talking about the Son of God. Does the Son of God need the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The answer to the question is yes, he does, while he's on earth. Well, if he needs it, then don't you and I? Oh, no, he needed it. Well, who do you think you are to think, oh, well, he needs it, but I don't? Well, come on. He's role modeling what you and I need. Okay, so then he comes out, and then the Bible says, Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, what happens in the wilderness is that he confronts Satan and he's there for 40 days. And there is a sense, there is a bit of a battle that goes on between Satan and Jesus. Now listen, look at verse 14 if you're taking notes here. Verse 14 says that Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit and news about him spread through the whole countryside. This is what I'm looking for. We're not here yet. For some reason, we don't get this. This is what happens. He comes out of the water. There's this anointing, if you like, upon his life. It's on him, not in him. It's on him. He then goes into the wilderness, into hard time, confronts Satan himself, has a major sense conflict battle, but you know, uses the word of God, which is something we'll get into, the left wing, anyway. And then it says that he comes out in the power of the Holy Spirit. It actually acknowledges that he hasn't lost something in the wilderness. He's actually gained something. I might just about finish here. That's what I'm looking for. What? What are you looking for, Ivan? I'm looking for disciples who go into the wilderness, can confront Satan himself, be confronted with major, major temptation in their life, and actually come out of the experience more powerful. More powerful than what they were before. Most disciples today, when they're in the middle of the wilderness, and when they're in the middle of hard times, when they're in the middle of great temptation, when they're in the middle of great demonic attack, are struggling to stay alive, let alone say, I'm better off for this experience. Can you see we're so far away from the life of Jesus? But Jesus is role modeling it to us. He's saying, hey, Hutt City, this is what it's like. You'll come out of these experiences with me, and you'll walk into your day, and some of you will walk straight into the wilderness. You'll go into the desert. You'll front Satan. You'll be tempted. There'll be major temptation in your life, but you'll walk through the day, and your testimony will be, man, that was glorious. That was great. That was wonderful. I've got more of the anointing now because of it. I went away full of the Holy Spirit. I come home with the power of the Holy Spirit. You with me? That's what I'm looking for. Aren't you? Yeah, come on. Because, man, there is some wilderness going on around here. There are some deserts. There are some temptation. There are some demonic encounters being had. I do not deny it. I want to be like Jesus. And when he gets into that mold, he grows. He gets stronger. He uses the word. He knows who he is. Are you all right? Identity, destiny, all this stuff. And so he's basically saying that we're bring him on the world. Bring him on, because I'm going to be stronger before him. That's who we are this morning. That's who we are this morning. Can I land it there? Or are you up here? I feel like we're a little bit up here. So I'm going to land it. So then what Jesus does is, after the resurrection, the disciples are just on such a buzz because, man alive, they've got this Jesus back again. And he says, oh, I'm not going to be here for long. And he says to them, it's better that I go. Why? Because the very Holy Spirit that's on me and in me and all over me and da-da-da and leading me is the very same Holy Spirit that you need. And these disciples had every right to do this. They said, but we've already had encounters with the Holy Spirit. The very first moment, one of the disciples could have gone like this. The very first encounter that I had with you after the resurrection was that you breathed on me and I received the Holy Spirit. Read it. Read your Bible. But Jesus is saying, no, something's missing. The heavens have got to open up for you. And the Spirit of God's got to come on you. Yeah. Right? Amen. Right? Amen. Why? Because that's what had to happen with me. Now, the beauty of this, right? The beauty with this, it's really good because I can see that we're really taking this in. The beauty of this is that for Jesus, it was like a dove. After Pentecost, it would be for the disciples. It was fire. And it was wind. So what does that tell you and I? It doesn't matter how he comes. It only matters that he comes. Right? So some says, oh man, I was laughing. Some says, I saw a picture. It doesn't matter. We're not going to worry about how he comes. We're not going to do high fives because we've got somebody rolling around and, you know, we're saying, oh, we've all got to do that. No. No, it doesn't matter how he comes. It only matters that he comes. You with me? those that are older in this congregation, to those that are younger. My hunger would be that every person would have an encounter with the living God, that the heavens would open and that the Spirit of God would fall on them and they would never again be the same. That's our experience this morning. That's what we're chasing this morning. Are we chasing Pentecostalism? No, we're not. We're chasing the life of Jesus. Amen. If it was good enough for him, and then he would tell the closest guys that he walked with that they too needed the same experience, then I'm suggesting that our manual would suggest that if he needed that, his disciples needed that, then I too need that. If Billy Graham can kneel and basically say, God, whatever you did to John Wesley, could you do it in me? Mm. I suggest that you and I need to have the same prayer in this day. Yeah. Just do it in me. So we're going to sing, and we're going to finish our time. And I would just like, I really do feel led of the Lord just to give an opportunity for you just to come before him. You can come and kneel or you can come and stand. There are some of you who have even said, I'm beginning to understand something about the sense of impartation that goes on. Well, come to people and say, will you pray with me, please? We've got Eric and Julie here. I mean, their story is fantastic story. You know, this couple were with us in Christchurch. And we had a need in Hornby, and this couple said to God, "God, we're just available." And then the father wanted them to be at Hornby. And then the father says, "I want them in Auckland." Ivan says, "No way! You're not nicking my best offices, you know." But, man, we've got to trust the Father. Hey, we've got to trust the Father. He knows what he's doing. But in Eric and Julie, you have a couple here that if you went to them and said, will you pray with me? They would. They would give you something this morning. They would pray in such a way that Father God would give you what they carry. And I would ask you to do that. Pray that we begin to chase more of God in these days. So that's what I want to do. I want to create a space. As we finish this morning, I'm going to pray, and the worship team can lead us on. If you want to sing with them, well, you do whatever you like. That's fine. But I'd like to create a space. If this morning you're saying, oh, God, I need more of this Spirit. And if you would want me to pray, if you want anybody else to pray, please, I need to say it. You have permission to come and say, please pray with me. Please pray with me. And let's just ask God for more, as we just get into the story of Jesus together. Father, I thank you for what you're doing here. And I pray, God, Lord, this morning that for every person here in this room, I live my life that every person that I would meet would have an encounter with you and for God. And I'm praying this morning that for every person in this building today, Lord, even for the children, for the Chinese fellowship right now, Father, in this building, that the heavens, which I understand to be open, would now fall. The Spirit of God would fall on us in such a way that our world would be radically changed. Come, Holy Spirit. We ask you to do this. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the move of your Spirit. We understand we're on a journey, Father. We understand you want to take us deeper. And so, God, we're not looking for something that, Lord, even this morning, if it's not there, it's not there. We just want to be a people that hunger for you, the living God. And so, Father, right at this moment, I'm praying around this building that you would just move powerfully in the lives of people. And for those, dear Father God, this morning that hunger for something in specific, I pray, God, we pray in faith, that they would receive that. And Lord, we thank you, God, for what you are doing. And we pray that as we now go from this place this morning, we ask you to come with us into our world, that we would represent you, that we would represent you, that we would replicate your life in the world to which we engage. Father, help us, we pray. We can't do this without you. And so, Father, right now, I'm asking, in every life, in every family, in every area of our communities that we will enter, may we carry your presence now and forevermore. And we pray, God, that we would see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this we would pray. And all the saints said, amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. God bless you.